उसके द्वारकाधीश प्रभु. सो इसके द्वारकाधीश प्रभु इज वन ऑफ द सीनियर मोस्ट काउंसलर्स इन द चौपाटी टेम्पल. यस्टरडे एंड द लास्ट थ्री डेज वी हैव बीन इन चौपाटी. सो इफ यू नो द अर्ली डेज ऑफ द चौपाटी टेम्पल, देयर आर मेनी डिवोटीज हु हैव मेड इट्स लाइक दे हैव लेड द फाउंडेशन ऑन द डिवोट ऑन द डिवोशनल फ्रंट. दैट मीन्स यू नो एज एज वी heard the simple temple video, there also you must have seen Prabhuji. So there the temple is not made by bricks, it is made with devotees. And the devotees were living by the principles of devotional service. So this gives Dwarkadish Prabhu, his brother, his Shridama Prabhu and many other devotees, they have been instrumental to shape the entire temple into a spiritual program. And he is by profession, he is a doctor. He did his MBBS in 1986, he did his MD in 1990, and he joined the Bhaktivedanta Hospital in 1998. In fact, he is a founder, a doctor, and a spiritual counselor in the Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And he's serving as a senior consulting physician, and he is a trustee of the hospital. And he focuses on holistic lifestyle management for prevention of disease, and he also cures the disease of other heart disease which all the jivas carry, which is of the spiritual problem. So along with the spiritual, the medical help, this whole hospital is geared to make people into wonderful Vaishnavas. So we are very honored to have him here. Let us welcome him by.
भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम ज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः. श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा गदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकं. वंदेहं श्री गुरु श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्री गुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्री रूपां साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादां सहगणा ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च. हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते. चन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे.
Thank you, dear friends, for coming all the way from Calcutta. Where they come from? These devotees from Pune. Oh yeah. Right. So we're having a cross section of the most intellectual people on the in the country coming here today. So it makes me feel very humbled to talk to such intelligent people. People who have got great academic backgrounds, bright faces, enthusiastic spirit, all in a Vaishnava attire. And that makes all the difference. More than your, yes, you have the backup of your knowledge, your experience, your understanding, and all this is going to be used in Krishna's service. This is perfect Yukta Vairagya. I have not formulated any specific thoughts for my lecture today. I didn't have the time to do that. I just share what all comes in my mind offhand. So excuse me if I am not very coherent or not very logical. I was thinking of a tree. A wonderful tree. Basic, we all understand that tree has got three parts. That tree has got its roots, which are unmanifested, not seen. They are deep down with the soil, and they go in search for nourishment, for water. Then we have the manifest part, which is twofold. We have the trunk, the huge trunk, and we have the foliage. And we have the fruits, the leaves, the branches, the twigs, the big part, which is the umbrella of the tree. This is so much similar to our lives in this world, as practicing, aspiring devotees. Certainly we also have three parts to this tree of our own lives. We have our roots. Our roots is our search. The roots are going down to search for nourishment. And therefore they become fine and fine and fine and very fine. And they practically make way through even the hard ground to look for life-sustaining water and minerals to sustain its life. So we need to have in our life that unseen thing, the search for the unseen absolute truth that we call as jigyasa, right? It starts from there. Atato Brahma jigyasa. This hankering, we may not have had this hankering to start with before we became devotees. We now start hankering for him after we became so-called devotees. Some people have the hankering naturally when they search. People like Radhanath Swami and others who we know, they searched for God. And the roots of their desire went so deep that right from somewhere in Europe, and then they came all the way searching. Really like India. But I don't think you and I, most of people have searched for Krishna. But now that we know that Krishna is worthy of our search, it's like we know whom we are searching for, but yet we have not found him. Isn't it? We are searching for Krishna, but have we found Krishna? We have not. We have not experienced Krishna still. We have not experienced his love. We have not experienced his beauty. We have not experienced the actual, true, immense magnitude of his glory. How he sustains life in all his variegatedness. How he sustains not one universe, millions and billions of universes. And how yet he is so free from all that. And he's playing on his flute with the cows in a remote place which we call as Golok Vrindavan. So we want to search for that Krishna. And where is that Krishna? Where is he? He is in our own heart. So we want the unmanifested part of a devotee's life is his internal craving. You may remember the beautiful song of George Harrison. Do you remember George Harrison? How many of you have heard his name? George Harrison? All of you, naturally. Not because of his music, but because he's a Hare Krishna devotee, right? Because, you know, in India, we don't really care so much about Western musicians so much. As it is, he was in the 60s, so, you know, by now, you know, but yet, because he was Prabhupada's follower, Ranakul Vaishnava, how much he contributed to the movement, we know about him through Prabhupada's literature. So in this song which he wrote in the 70s called My Sweet Lord, which was his signature creation, it was one of his best creations in his, you know, whole life of several dozens and dozens and dozens of songs he composed the lyrics of and gave music to. I really want to see you. I really want to be with you. I really want to feel you. But it's taking so long. My sweet Lord. My sweet Lord. My sweet Lord. That's a beautiful song. Have you heard the song? Have you heard the song? If you haven't, you can go on the tube and, you know, hear the song. He sings with such deep emotion in that song. Looking at this wonderful musician, one of the most historical musicians the world has ever seen in recent times, a man who made history at the young age of 19, right? And on his face you can see what I'm talking about. This deep hankering, searching for Krishna. Right? So that is the desire. We all have this desire, we have this capacity to hanker for something. And sometimes we lament about things we don't get. Right? It's a natural propensity of the conditioned soul to hanker and to lament. But hankering is not bad, and neither is lamentation bad. It can be Krishnaized. Everything can be Krishnaized in this world. So we can also use hankering for Krishna. Who is this Krishna? Jesus talked so much in the Bhagavatam. One who darshan Pitru Maharaj, one who protected Prahlad, one who came at the time of death of Bhishma Dev, who could lift a beautiful hill of so many thousands of yojanas on a single finger, and yet he played with cows and he played his flute in such a way that he attracted all the material nature and makes rocks melt away. And the person who could show the whole universe creation in his little mouth of 1 inch, a small boy trying to eat some dirt. Who is this Krishna? He is such an enigmatic person. How is he like this? And they describe his smile, and they describe his gait. Madhuram Madhure Piyopi Pawanavita. It's described, how his smile is wonderful. You know, the Madhurashtakam is there, the beautiful song of Madhurashtakam, Vallabhacharya. In all these songs, in all these places, we need to develop this genuine, deep desire, like the roots of the tree, to search for Krishna in our own hearts. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Kothai Krishna? Kothai Krishna? Right? This is the mood of Lord Chaitanya. This is the mood of the Goswamis of Vrindavan. Where is Krishna? So let us never ever feel that I know Krishna. Oh yeah, I know Krishna. We have read Prabhupada's books. But that gives us the intellectual information. It's more information than experiential. But we want to experience Krishna. And that should be the unmanifested, greatest, deepest, strongest hankering of our lives. That is a root part. Is it okay? So let us develop this desire. Everything Prabhupada said is this world is based on desire. And how fast you will realize Krishna is based on simply on the intensity of this desire. So let us desire for Krishna. It's the most wonderful thing to desire for. What is that desire in his life? What everything else we see, at least a little bit what we understand as new coming devotees, we understand that there is not much really in this world to really hanker for. It's all like Prabhupada said, a phantasmagoria. it's a very, almost we can feel what he's saying. A phantasmagoria is like, it's like the candy you eat, candy floss. You feel it's a big thing, right? Nothing there. You take another bite, the whole candy floss just melts into your mouth, and there's nothing really to eat, there's nothing to chew there. It just, the whole world is like candy floss. You have to eat something. People keep on eating wealth, name, fame, power, everything, but there's nothing there. It's like a phantasmagoria. And then you have this middle part, which is called as the trunk of the tree. What is this to us? This part, of course, when I say the word, desire, I also want to say about that signifies, in practical sense, our sadhana bhakti. That unmanifested part is our sadhana bhakti. During our sadhana, we are expressing our desire and our yearning to love, to serve, to know Krishna. Right? When you're chanting Hare Krishna mantra, you want to desire this, you have the desire. I want to serve you, my Lord. You're so wonderful. You're worthy of all surrender. You're the cause of all causes. The epitome of all verses in the world is Brahma's creation, this beautiful sentence he spoke. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadi Radhir Govinda Sarva Karmika. This is the ultimate scientific exposition of all truth. And one day maybe the scientists will understand that it is not the Big Bang. It was this beautiful boy who created the world. Right? So it is an ultimate scientific exposition on all scientific endeavor to know what is real truth. That comes from the creator himself, Brahma. And it is the cause of all causes is Krishna. Correct? So our sadhana bhakti will help us to go deep in those roots. The middle part is the trunk. The trunk part actually, which is the manifest part, now we have come above. And we don't see sadhana, we don't see our anchoring, it's inside. Right? What comes up is we have three things. We have sadhana, you have sadachar, and you have and seva, right? So the middle part is our, it sustains us, is our sadachar. Sadachar is the one which you see. It's a manifest part of the tree. So how we behave in this world, based on how much nourishment we have received from below, from the roots. Roots are in the parampara, roots are in bhakti, the roots are in the scriptures, deeply rooted in our parampara teachings, and we take from them nourishment. And then to that extent, the trunk becomes stronger. Right? A big trunk, a banyan tree. It can support a huge foliage. So that sadachar is what is seen. And let us be reminded here that this is what the world will see also. What the devotees will see also, is what the guru will see also. How we behave, how we conduct ourselves in this world, as now that we're wearing his clothes, we're wearing this kanti, we're wearing this tilak, we're having this shikha, we have to really present ourselves to the world the ideal standard of human behavior in the form of practicing Vaishnava. So that's the manifest part of our history. And this is not sometimes stressed so much as sadhana is stressed. It appears to me that sometimes we stress sadhana so much, book reading, chanting in the morning, gathering in the morning. But what about our sadachar? Right? The way we behave with each other. Are we really behaving like Vaishnavas? Are we envious of Vaishnavas? Are we competitive with Vaishnavas? Do we look down upon them? Do we take them for granted? Do we really, find faults with them? Because you're going to live with a lot of Vaishnavas. And all your life, you please know, you're going to live with Vaishnavas. You're not going to be living with Karmis. Right? Is it not? So then they are going to be such an important part of your life. So how to deal with them? And you will see their faults. You will have your faults. And the whole dynamics will be so important to see how we really fit into this dynamic situation of staying with Vaishnavas. Right? And how we deal with our parents. How we deal with our outside world. Deal with the taxi wala, how deal with the bhaji wala, and how we are seen. People want to see, oh, tilak wala, stand on the roads, Hare Krishna. How are we behaving? People are very watchful. Very watchful. When they come to the hospital, for example, people don't know. It's the first time coming to hospital, everything is different here, right? Nothing is like a normal hospital. It's like a normal hospital. Oh, bus 80, it's a little different. They don't have a doctor sitting there in the center. Some big doctor, some famous doctor, some Swami sitting in the center. Music is going on. There's not some song, some mantra. mantras are going on here. So they know the different things what people are talking to, like. So they're a little taken aback. So they want to see, they observe how they behave with each other. How they behave with the patients. How they behave at the reception desk, how they're behaving. You see? So what is observed is our sadachar. So our preaching is not our sadhana. Our preaching is our sadachar. That is the power to preach. And then you have the upper part, the big umbrella. What is that? That is our seva. That is our contribution to the outside world. The fruits and the flowers. What are we going to give to the society at large? What we are receiving from society, from response society, from outside society, what we give back to the world. Every seed grows from the, you know, from the ground, and then when it grows up, it doesn't just, you know, it produces fruits and flowers. So what we will do for the world at large, for example, we began as simple doctors, you know, several years ago, and now because of the hospital, we are able to repay back to the world and create an environment whereby people can take advantage of Krishna consciousness through this modality of preaching. Right? So we feel grateful that Prabhupada is giving us a chance to give back to the society. Right? So what we give back to the society will be the our seva. Right? So this is what it is. This is our sadhana bhakti. This is our sadachar part. And the big part is our service. Right? So feel very, very happy about this. That we have this very organized thing which is there in our life. We need to work on all the three things. All three things. What is more important? Well, I don't think anything more important than the other. All three are important. But at our stage, which we are right now, probably we'll have to focus on the first and second one more than the third one. Right? The first, unless we are, the trunk is strong, it can't hold a lot of foliage. If it's just a small little, you know, 3 mm small trunk, how many leaves can it really sustain? It just sustain maybe 10 leaves the most. Right? Like Prabhupada, it's like a huge banyan tree. So such a big huge banyan tree, and all rootlets are there, and all these things are coming out, and huge thing, right? Prabhupada is giving shape to so many, you know, flowers, fruits have been produced, so many swamis, GBCs, gurus, this, that. He's producing so many things on the trunk, right? So what is given to society is a huge amount of shade. A banyan tree gives huge shade. Prabhupada's tree is like so huge that it can give shade to the whole world. That's why it's called Jagat Guru, right? So let us take full shelter of this shade of Prabhupada's ISKCON movement, right, and get deeply more and more nourished in our sadhana bhakti, and improve on our sadachar, learn the principles deeply, and there will be great things to do for the future. So, I thought I'd just give the example of a tree to make you conceptualize how our life should be. So, that you can really focus more systematically, or all of your IITians, very systematic, very analytical. Small analytical class to you. I'll take a few questions now. Any question pertaining to my talk or pertaining to whatever you might want to ask? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, so now the service we're rendering is more the zone of service is very small. It's not like giving out to the society. You're doing something simple, like maybe arranging for, you know, the mics and arranging for programs, thodasa, coordinating, helping the brahmacharis, thodasa, right? It's not really going out to the world. You're not exposed to the outside world, are you? No, not so much. You are? You do that also? Okay, so you're doing that already. Your foliage is growing very nicely, that means. Your trunk is quite strong. But remember, it's like this because if you focus so much on the service, without the proportionate amount of time we give to the trunk and the roots, and becomes a huge service. It's like a service is so large, and trunk has not grown so strong, it will crumble. Right? At the same time, we have a huge trunk. We're really not doing anything for the world. Huge trunk, we can do a lot of things, but prayers, you know, chanting around 64 rounds in one place. You know, you're doing much to the society. That's not good either. Or you have a lot of nice, you're trying to be good to people, nice Islam etiquette is there, and you know, like that, and you're trying to be very humble and gentle and polite and courteous, like that. And you're doing a lot of services, but your roots are not so deep. You're not really nourishing yourself so well. Next time, Mataji winks at you. Took the trunk falls. So that is why that we have, why I'm giving the example is because we see in society, ISKCON society, sometimes disproportionate growth configurations. Strong foliage with weak trunk, all combinations. Very strong roots, but yet not strong trunk. Sadhana is very good, but when it comes to dealing with people, horrible dealing with people, you know. The abusive language, political, critical, non-submissive, always judgmental problem. Such people are going to be difficult in ISKCON society or any society for that matter. Right? They become married, they are so cranky, they can't get along with the wives, nothing, it's a problem. But sadhana, Hare Krishna, morning 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, Hare Krishna. They're not really focusing on their external development as well. Right? So we don't want to get any disproportionate growths. We want to have proportionate organic growths taking place in a smooth manner. As years go by, sometimes a lot of services come in, and if the leaders are not careful to, you know, give proportionate services to their junior devotees, they give a lot of services, do this and do that, and the guy is so packed up with service, he can't read his books, he can't chant his rounds nicely, he can't take physical rest, he's like not able to eat his food properly, and the whole system becomes like shaking. That happens many times. Many of our leaders in ISKCON today, they are doing so much services, their health is collapsing. They can't take care of their health because they are so much involved, so many meetings and discussions, and stress, taking care of disciples, so many things like that. So at all times, we want to have a sustained effort at all three levels. Am I clear to you? Right, so let's not have any disproportionate growth examples. Any other question?
Vishnu Guruji? Yeah. We have met in the Sarkar, some realization of the hospital.
Not an obligation about the hospital?
Some realizations.
Yeah, my friend Vishnu Prabhu will be coming in a few minutes. Dr. Shanbag, he will share something in the hospital. But my realization of the hospital, yes, I must definitely say something. You will see the hospital yourself now. You'll be going there in a few minutes, right? I think it's one of those what you call as innovative preaching projects. Which was not so much during Prabhupada's time, of course, they were extremely innovative, that's a fact. They had to deliver so many things for which are new, totally new for the world. But as Prabhupada's time, when Prabhupada left this planet, and then a little later, as we wanted to attract, as ISKCON understood that it has to attract more and more and more wider circle of people, especially as in the older ISKCON, when people came into ISKCON, it was mainly the full-timers. They just joined. Everyone who came in was like a full-timer, right? Everyone lived in the ashram. And then after the 80s, then the things changed and people started staying outside. So now we have people like ourselves who are devoting themselves, who wanted to take inspiration from Prabhupada's movement, but yet we have outside lives. Live in outside world. So that those group people have to be, you know, connected to some useful project by which they can use their talents in ISKCON service. Right? So that's why this thing whole came up where Radhana Swami asked us that, okay, now all of you are becoming doctors. So rather than, you know, squandering away your energy in a different direction and setting up independent hospitals or nursing homes and doing independent practices, come together and as a group and then, you know, start to serve Krishna with that particular focus in the center. So that's how the whole project started in 1987. And that led ultimately in organically growing into this hospital that you see. There's a big history behind it. But it is so successful, and as it is blessed by so many people, Bhagavad Maharaj, Yamuna Devi, Jagdak Swami Maharaj, so many other Vaishnavas, Manushu Swami, so many Vaishnavas have come, dozens and dozens of them. years, and they have really blessed the project in wonderful ways, and said this is really above what would have wanted. So what we see wonderfully happening here is that because we have a non-secular project, right, where we have a atmosphere of Vaishnavism, but we are not really threatening anybody with becoming a devotee or not devotee, right? So then we have a lot of people who are coming from cross communities, cross religions. So we have people coming from all walks of life, Muslims, Sikhs, anybody, Christians, because they get sick. Everyone gets sick, so they have to come to some place. When they come here, it is Prabhupada's way of tricking them. Prabhupada was a great trickster, right? Prabhupada was an extremely intelligent trickster. He used to trick people with gulab jamuns. That was a secret weapon. So if you feed them gulab jamuns, they get knocked off. It's not bullets, right? So he knocked them off. He knocked off so many people with that. It was bloodless revolution. Killing people, not with arm guns, but with powerful mava. Like that, Prabhupada has tricked them also. So what we see when you come along, you will see that a lot of people in burqa, all black. So they're all from a non-Vaishnava background, not community they belong to. So they're tricked. Start learning Hare Krishna. And they go to the consulting room of the doctors and they leave. The eyes open and shut. And everybody, Muslims or non-Muslim or Hindus, everyone will take some prasad. Right? The moment they eat it, finished. We don't have gulab jamuns, but we have the small cookies, you know, which is offered to Prabhupada. So then we know that many people are getting knocked off like that. So many people have lives have changed. Hundreds of people's lives have changed because they've been in contact with them. And it's getting such a goodwill for ISKCON. ISKCON was seen traditionally as a moment where people just wear this saffron clothes on the roads and play Murugan Kirtan and just chant Hare Krishna and do nothing for society. Of course, they're doing a lot of things for society just by chanting Hare Krishna, purifying the whole ecology of the entire world. People don't see it like that. Right? People don't say, you know, they see the doctors and they're for society. Right? So they earn a lot of goodwill. So this is a very innovative project. And there is so many things happening here. There is research taking place. Research, we are now a research institute. So it's last more than a year now. We have more than 18 research projects in our hand, where we are actually doing research on spiritual medicine also. So that's there. And it is really creating, slowly but surely creating a lot of impact in the world. And I'll tell you a few things about the last 1 year. In the last 1 year, I think, I don't know how much, but we have earned about 15 national and international awards. Yeah. The last one which was there, this has happened last week. Our director, Dr. Sangbag, Dr. Sankhe, who went to Delhi, and the Secretary of Union Health Minister came. There was a big function in a five-star hotel where 150 best consultants of the country came. It was a joint project by Oriental Life Insurance Company and Times Foundation, right? And they wanted to find out the best trends for hospitals in the country, right? So they had 150 people who were contesting for this, and from that they shortlisted only three were the best, and we were one of the three, right? So in this way, people are understanding the value of spiritual care. I think this is only suffering the whole planet. There are millions of hospitals, I'm sure, they're out there. But no hospital understands even the value of spiritual care to the patients. We're the only one doing that, a singular one. He has almost about 25 people working day and night for the spiritual care department. So it's a separate department by itself. So it is a thing which is of the future. Already it is creating a lot of impact, but I'm sure as years go by, people understand that yes, there is consciousness, there is a soul, and the healing part of the profession should not just get to the body by injections and surgeries and antibiotics, but also get to the emotions, the minds, the fears, the anxieties, the frustrations, the depressions, also deal to these the souls, right? So we have holistic care, where we take care of the body, mind, and soul. Right? So it's a very wonderful project to be in. So I feel, of course, personal level that I'm deeply blessed, deeply blessed to be a part of this exciting project. This is so dear to Radhanath Swami and Prabhupada. And in some way, I'm playing my role, however small, but it is bringing great amount of deep fulfillment and satisfaction. So, I feel very happy about it. Very happy about it. So, these are a few thoughts on the hospital. Any other questions there? Anybody else? Yes, brother. Oh, yeah, sure. I'd like to do that. Thank you for asking that question. It's very important. I'm glad you're thinking on those lines. And it's a welcome question. Yes, that tends to be one of the things which we neglect. Right? When I say the invisible part, the roots part, that's one of the things that's invisible. Right? As I said, some leaders have had very bad health because they did not take care. So, you'll be surprised to know that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives among three things most important, you know, that he categorizes the priorities of his life. That is a great acharya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is. He said, first is health, second is sadhana, and third is preaching. You know? So he was a very practical man, man of the world. He understood that unless there is good health, there cannot be good sadhana. Unless there is good sadhana, there cannot be any effective preaching. Right? So the apparatus which helps us to serve Krishna, this apparatus is God's temple, it's Krishna's temple. Right? Krishna lives in his heart. And it is through this via media that we need to really offer all our services, our mind, body, intelligence, everything. Kayana ma, vacha, manasen, riyarva, buddhyatmana, prasubhava. All that we have is here. So unless we really take care of this, how can we really be effective? So it's very important that we eat good food. So some devotees get into the spree of austerity sometimes. Austere, very austere. All Ekadashi Nirjal and extra fastings, and one day before the Ekadashi fasting and one day next after also fasting. All sorts of exotic fasting schedules they have. So, you know, all young people, remember, you're in your 20s, right? 20s, right? 25 years old. You have a huge amount of metabolic basal rate. The BMR. The BMR is very high at your age. So, even if you don't do anything, just sit in one place, you need about 1200 calories per day. And if you're really active and doing so many things, about 2200 calories per day you will need. So, this has to come from good food. So, you'll have to eat at least three good meals in a day. At least three, if not four or five. Yeah, seriously. I can see all of you are a little underweight. Most of you. Generally, I can see that I'm the only guy who's a little overweight here. But most of the people, cross section, I can see that we are all like, look at this wonderful Vaishnav here, is Nikolai Sir Goswami already. He's already becoming Goswami, the one behind my friend. He's also becoming like Goswami. So, yes, Goswami is a thing of the heart, not of the body. Goswami means right here. You can be like, Yudhishthira Maharaj, you know, he was Swami, but he's still very powerful Kshatriya. You can be Bhimsen, you know, Bhimsen, Goswami at heart. So, let's make those examples rather than Raghunath Das and Raghunath Bhatta. People, only chas two times in a day. So, yes, eat well, my dear friends. Do not neglect your food. And for some time, I find people when they fast, they feel really nice because when they eat less and they have more energy. But that's a very short term gain. So eat well and do not neglect your sleep. Right? I know for sure, not being in the movement for a little more years than you have, that ISKCON is a very powerful movement. You realize that? It's extremely powerful. I mean, it just sucks you. You know? It is a huge, sometimes, you know, these machines are there. You know, the roads, they come. They have most of them abroad. A lot of dusty road and they sucks or whatever is there, you know, down. So ISKCON is like that. Mahaprabhu's movement, it just sucks you. And before you know, you're just inside, right? Inside. You get, where am I? And you just get sucked in, right? And you get so sucked and so I get so absorbed, and then a lot of pressure and expectations is there, you know, from your peers. Get up in the morning, 4 o'clock, and then you chant your rounds, 32 rounds in Ekadashi, and this and that. Do some seva. Heavy expectations come right from the beginning. And begin because we are new, you know, it's like there's a lot of fire there. You feel, yeah, that's it. Pure devotee in 15 days, crash course. I want to see Krishna, I want to be with Krishna, I want to smell him, I want to touch him, I want to embrace him. In 15 days, I want Krishna, you know. Right? No, Krishna is going to take some time. He won't be accessible so easily. But you don't want to sustain lifelong project before you die at the age of 70, 75. You have to sustain your life in a way that you can really go on to the last breath of your life in a healthy body. Right? So, please never ever think less about this body which you have. It's God's gift to you. It's Krishna's gift to you to serve Him. So, sleep well. Whatever people may say, 6 hours for all that yogis, bogis, and all that formula they have. Yogis sleep so much, and yogis sleep so much, and this and that. I believe you need about 7 hours of good sleep. That's for sure. 7 hours of good sleep, maybe half an hour nap in the afternoon, not a problem. It's not Maya. Otherwise, all this body care is like Maya. When I was a new devotee, anything I did for the body was seen by my friends as, hey, Maya. I used to be in the hostel and I used to, you know, do some dumbbells and say, Maya. Muscle banata hai to, Maya. Everything I did for my body was like Maya. And then I got discouraged because I did not do that. But afterwards I realized I need to tone my muscles, to keep my back strong. I sit in the clinic for 8, 9 hours, 10 hours sometimes, do my consultations. If I have a weak back and get a backache, I can't do my consultation, right? So I have to tone my spine every day, so I do some exercise for my spine, right? So in this way, we need to keep good exercise program, a good sleep program, maybe a good health program, food program. I think I would stress 4 things. First is drink enough water. Simple tips I'll give you. Enough water means it should be at least anything about 2 liters of water per day. Right? Because most of the country is quite humid. Global warming is taking place. A lot of everything is getting hot. So, global warming, more sweating, etc. Drink a lot of water. So, all your toxins are out. Get flushed. Do good bowel movements. Never neglect your breakfast. The breakfast is more important than your dinner. So eat a heavy breakfast, a medium type of lunch, and a light dinner. That's the way it should be. Right? So good 3 meals, if possible 4 meals. Keep some extra food off, you know, some fruits and whatever else you have, some kela, banana, chiku, whatever is available easily and cheap. Keep it with you so when you get hungry, don't neglect your hunger. Right? Address your hunger. Don't neglect your natural demands of your body. Right? Especially the tongue and the belly. Generally, you can neglect. No problem. Generally, they have the demands, you can neglect that because that's not very important. But that tongue and the belly, when you need to eat food and you need to digest your digestion is asking for something, eat your food. So, eat food well, sleep well, 7 hours at least, glass of water, right? 4 things, water, food, sleep, exercise. Yeah. So, of course, no exercise for you right now because all of you are Goswamis right now, right? So, if you are Goswamis right now, underweight, if you do exercise, you lose more weight. Your protein will melt away further, right? So first build up a protein mass, get some body mass first, and then you can start exercising. Right? Don't laugh, it's very important. If you're going to be really sturdy and serving Krishna to the end of your life, you must do these 4 things. You must take enough water, take at least 3 or 4 good meals in a day, and take any adequate exercise, and then good amount of rest. If these 4 things you do properly, your apparatus will sustain you for the next 70, 75 years. This is basic. There are a lot of things on health I can speak, obviously, right? But this is a basic crash course. Just 4 things. Okay, so I think I need to take your leave now. My friend is here. Dr. Shambhag will talk to you about the hospital. Primarily, he is the one who takes care. He is the leading person in the special care department. And he is the one who organizes so many functions, programs. And he will give you a better orientation than I gave you because I spoke very briefly only on my involvement. But you talk in a general way for the next half an hour or more. There are some lot of questions there. But I want to wish you all the very best in your life. And I'm tremendously inspired by your association. I mean, I say this to all the Puna devotees also when I meet them in Nityananda Sabha. I go every year for the last 7 years. I feel deeply encouraged to see all of you. Because in you there is a bright future for our country. Right? Prabhupada wanted this so much. Prabhupada wanted young people to really take up Krishna consciousness. Indians. Right? So, whether we know it or not, the power to change the world is in India. The power to change the world is not in America or in Japan or China. The world will only change when people are born in this land of India. They have the power to change the world, whether you believe it or not. The power is not ours, the power is Krishna's in the land, the bhumi, the punya bhumi of India, where we are born. And if we really absorb, let our roots, as I said in the beginning, go deep, absorb the culture of Krishna consciousness deeply, and through our example, through our preaching, we can change the world. And that's a fact. It's with people like you, young people who are dynamic, young, enthusiastic, what we cannot do. We can do a lot of things for society. So, go on. Go on with this flame of bhakti. And the future is waiting for you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So, we are very, actually, Prabhuji, His Grace Dwarkadish Prabhu, and His Grace Vishnu Prabhu, both of them, and many others serving in this hospital, they are examples of ideal Grihastha devotees. Their competence and the great devotion, and they're leading, as you heard about the tree of life from Prabhuji, so they're leading many wonderful Grihasthas. In fact, they come to Pune temple also and they share their wisdom. Prabhuji had recently come and filled us with great we had a Vyasa Puja of His Grace Radhanath Maharaj there. Dwarkadish Prabhu had addressed us. It was very nourishing to all of us. We are very, very honored that Prabhuji gave us this valuable time. Let us thank Him by loudly chanting, Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! So we have with us His Grace Vishwarup Prabhu. Hari Bol! So His Grace Vishwarup Prabhu is also another very senior member, counselor of the congregation program of the Chopati Temple. In fact, from the very inception of Chopati Temple, Prabhuji, Dwarkadish Prabhu and many others have been there. And Prabhuji has been guiding many, many. Now they are like senior most counselors for the congregation. And then there are, professionally, Prabhuji is MBBS from Mumbai University. He did it in 1985. He is also the founder, doctor and deputy director of the Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And he is the chief of the Department of Spiritual Care. Prabhuji was mentioning Dwarkadish Prabhu that this is a very unique department which is only there in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. So Prabhuji is the chief of that department. And we will get to hear more about it from Prabhuji. He has lectured at the John F. Kennedy Hospital in US and UK. He has also given Bhagavad Gita lectures at Star Plus, Aastha, Color TV. And he oversees the Pandapur multi-diagnosis camp where some 30,000 patients are treated. He is also the trustee of the Gopal's Garden School. We have a Bhaktivedanta model school in Pune. Actually, it took its model based on one beautiful school which is already here for many, many years, the Gopal's Garden School. So we learned from them and then we applied it in Pune. So that's the Gopal's Garden School. So Prabhuji is trustee of the Gopal's Garden School. He's also the trustee of Sri Chaitanya Seva Trust and for the Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And he's involved in the management of Rosalind and Tetern School of Nursing. This is a nursing school here in the hospital. When you will visit, you will see. And hospice. Hospice is a program where when the person is about to leave the body, how to take care of his physical needs and spiritual needs at that time. So that is a very beautiful program and they have started in Vrindavan so that the person can leave his body in the spiritual dham. And there, Prabhuji is also the chief coordinator of Barsana Eye Camp. So he is actually, although doing so many wonderful things on the in the outside world, still Prabhuji has deep devotion. If you hear from him a Radha Ashmi lecture, Prabhuji comes regularly to Pune and gives us his association. It is a very, his deep devotion can come, we can see through his money. So we are very fortunate that we are getting to hear from him. Guruji is very busy. Somehow he is available here today. We welcome him by three times loudly chanting, Hari Bol!
Hari Bol! Hari
Bol!
How many of you have come before to Bhaktivedanta Hospital? So most of you are new this time. How many of you have attended Barsana Eye Camp? Nobody. Okay, I'm very honored and grateful to be amongst you today. I happen to be from JJ Hospital and Dwarkadish Prabhu was from Nair Hospital, students, and we met in Juhu Temple, Hare Krishna Land. And there we continued together with many more of us, Madhavanand Prabhu and Viriraj Prabhu and Vaishna Seva Prabhu and Adhikasho Prabhu. And I was the first person to take up Krishna consciousness in JJ Hospital in those days. We have very wonderful history, very enlivening history of how we practiced our devotional life in our college life. What kind of adventures we had there in college during our practicing years of Krishna consciousness, early practicing years. So nonetheless, today we are in 2014, in December, at the end of the year, and Bhaktivedanta Hospital is completing 16 years. Sorry, 16 years already completed, 17 years when we completed. It was on January 11th, 2015, it will be 17 years completed. So, it's a very wonderful journey which began in 1986 from our initiation. And then we began medical camps and opened a polyclinic after 10 years of medical camps. Then worked there in the polyclinic, which is about 3 kilometers from here, which still exists. And then we opened Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Today you will be very happy to know we are not only Bhaktivedanta Hospital at Mira Road. We are now Bhaktivedanta Hospital and Research Institute, which has totally 8 hospitals right now. Are you aware of that? See, we came in Mira Road, which is in 93, and we opened a small polyclinic, flat by flat, one flat, two flat, three flats, and then a 14-bedded polyclinic which started running from 93. Till 98, only that was there. In 98, we opened this hospital. And in 2005, we opened the Rosalind S. Titon School of Nursing. 2006, we got the land in Vrindavan and we started constructing the hospice, Bhaktivedanta Hospice, for terminally ill people. And in 1992, much before the hospital, much before the polyclinic, when we were holding only medical camps, we began eye camps in Barsana. Barsana is 50 kilometers from Vrindavan, and there is the childhood place of Radharani. Radharani was raised as a child. She has her home there. So we began our eye camps over there, cataract surgical camps, in 92. And that went on for many years. And 2006, when we bought the land, in 2007, we started monthly camps there. And 2007's monthly camp, until 2011 the monthly camps went. 2011 October, we started hospital for eye services there. Some doctors from here, the top doctors from here, left with some team of assistants and went there and started a day-to-day hospital. So monthly camps ended. Now daily hospital is running and the eye camp yearly is continuing, which happens to be in month of February. The fixed dates of the eye camp are 8th February to 20th February. And the next 4 days are always the yatra that we take for all the participants of eye camp. In 2011 is a local hospital here which existed before we came here. And then it was like a almost closed hospital. Nothing was going on there. building was ground plus three and almost empty. So the chairman of the committee of Radha Giridhari Mandir, which you are sitting here now, Harsha Govinda Prabhu, is also a builder who is also building the beautiful temple which is in front of you. He also has a building construction business. He has built many buildings close by here also. He had a builder friend who has built that hospital, P.V. Doshi Hospital. So he met him and said, why are you trying to struggle to run the hospital? Just give them to give it to Bhaktivedanta Hospital. They will run it. So he was convinced. He said, wow, good idea. So we had discussions, and then at Diwali day in 18th October 2011, we took over P.V. Doshi Hospital. We completely changed the face of it, and it is full from the day one. So now we have three places in Mira Road. That old clinic is still going on as polyclinic. P.V. Doshi Hospital, last 3 years, 17 years Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Then hospice was inaugurated in 2010. 26 August 2010, we inaugurated the beautiful hospice in Vrindavan. Then Daily Hospital in Barsana was inaugurated on October 2011, same day, same month. And now, about 2 years back, 2012, we started a hospital in Mayapur. Bhaktivedanta Hospital, Mayapur Healthcare Services. This is what is going on in Mayapur. We have a clinic in Mayapur complex and in-house, that is in campus. And about 1 kilometer from Mayapur campus, we have our proper hospital ground plus two, where we are running primary health center and basic services there. Eye services will start very soon. So, kitne ho gaye? 3 Mira Road, 2 Vrindavan, 5, 1 Mayapur, 6. Huh? Then we have a WADA community, you must have visited. Did you visit WADA community? Yes or no? Yes, also no also. Some people have gone. So, Radha Gopinath Mandir has a 73 acres farm, which is about 80 kilometers from Chaupati, 120 kilometers from Chaupati, 80 kilometers from here. It's a very beautiful place called WADA, where we have our farmhouse. And just next to the farmhouse, about 1 kilometer away, we have another hospital called Bhaktivedanta Hospital, Hamrapur. Hamrapur is the main village there. And there we have another hospital which is running for last 2 years. Just finished 2 years now. How many kitna ho gaya abhi? Huh? 7 ho gaya. Abhi Talasari mein Juhu temple has another 2 farms. So very soon, within 2-3 months time, Bhaktivedanta Hospital will be started in Talasari also. At the near our farmhouse base. Kitna ho gaya? Or ginna hai aapko, khatam nahi hua hai. Then there is a place called Vasai and Nalasopara, the next stations, you know. We are Mira Road, then there is Bhaindar, then there is Naigaon, then there is Vasai, then there is Nalasopara, then there is Virar. So this is all western coast, west coast, western railway. So in between Nalasopara and Vasai, there is a village called Nirmal. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is supposed to have visited that place. He came to Malabar Hill, where our Chaupati temple is there. How many of you have gone to Malabar Hill? Malabar Hill is a place where Baan Ganga is there. Do you know Baan Ganga? Baan Ganga is a place where Lord Ram came in search of Lord Sita Devi, and he had to do afternoon Gayatri. So they wanted sweet water to do Achman before doing Gayatri. In that time, there was no sweet water because all ocean is there, no salty water. So Lord Ram told Lakshman, please invoke Mother Ganga here. I want to do Achman and do Gayatri. So Lord Lakshman shot an arrow with Ganga mantra in his mind, and Ganga Devi appeared from the arrow. Until today, Ganga Devi is flowing. There is a huge pond of constant flow of Ganga Jal called Bana Ganga, created by the Bana of Lakshman, Lord Lakshman. So Lord Ram came there, and then from there he traveled down. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also came there, visited that place and did Kirtan over there. And from there he travelled northwards on west coast of Bombay. And it is explained that he visited the village called Sopara, where he took bath in one pond called Nirmal, which was created by Parshuram by killing one demon Bimala. So where he threw Bimala's body, they became Bimalkund. And where he took bath, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nirmal Kund, both are there today also. At the bank of this beautiful kund, which is in a semicircular fashion. On a hillock, there is one hospital called Sraddhananda Hospital, built by Swami Sraddhananda, again built with great boom, at in the course of time going down and not functional so much. So they are going to give the whole hospital to us, and in 2-3 months time we are going to take over Sraddhananda Hospital in Nalasopara. Kitna ho gaya? There's one more hospital in Vasai, little township, 100-bed hospital. Again, you know, many people are very rich here, and they give money and they build the building, but hospital is not running because the building is constructed. We need doctors who are dedicated. We need a team, a professional team. We need expertise to run the hospital in a very successful way. There are some different calculations. So people give donation and they build the hospital. But then after doctors kahan hai? Doctor nahi hai. So the hospital dheere dheere band hone lagta hai. So they are also negotiating with us and we will take over their hospitals. Kitna hoga total? 10 and 10 kafi hai na filhal. 10 is enough. So this is by the unlimited mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. The medical vision was conceived that how we can preach the world through medical services. And the vision is very, very wonderful, very inspiring. When we became students and we became doctors, passed out, all of us came together and formed a sanstha called as Hare Krishna Medical Association. Under one tree in the village of Palghar, where from Madhavananda Prabhu was born and brought up there. In that village, we made this Hare Krishna Club of Palghar first, and then we made Hare Krishna Medical Association, which then later turned into Sri Chaitanya Medical Mission, and then turned into Chaitanya Seva Trust, and then the hospital came under this trust. So, the vision was like this, that many doctors became devotees in that era, that time. So the vision was like this. We wanted to build the hospital for three purposes. The first purpose is to give the message of Godhead in a very creative way through medical profession to transform the hearts of people. Can you close that door, please? Right in front. So, again I repeat, to deliver the message of Godhead in a very creative way through medical profession to change, to transform the hearts of people favorable for Krishna. This is the first purpose. To use all our skills and knowledge and, you know, treatment skills to actually help people to come closer to God and become devotees. Please close the door, please. So, second purpose was to treat the Vaishnavas whenever they fall sick. Because, you know, Vaishnavas are staying in a very pure atmosphere. Many of them are full-time devotees, staying in the temple, very sanctified, pure atmosphere. And when they get sick, where they have to go? They have to go to commercial hospitals, where meat is cooked, eggs are cooked, everything is cooked, unoffered food, there is no devotion, nothing is there. They have to stay there, you know, in a struggle. They can't maintain their principles because they are sick and they are in a very obnoxious atmosphere. So they deserve to stay and heal their sick bodies in a holy atmosphere. So another purpose of building the hospital, because devotees do fall sick. Do you fall sick or not? Everybody falls sick. And as you age, you fall sick more. As the machine gets older, you fall sick more. So all the devotees need a very bona fide, trustworthy, and in brackets, pure hospital, where they can stay and heal their bodies and recuperate and come back again, preach. They deserve that. The second purpose was to treat the saintly people, devotees, medical help. And third purpose was Varnashram. Varnashram means the devotees, they also need to earn money, no? Otherwise, how they will maintain their families? And 90% of people become grihasthas. They need to earn money, raise children and maintain all the accounts and earn money. But they also deserve, when they become devotees, to work in a Krishna conscious atmosphere, holy atmosphere, so that they don't commit sinful activities or the company doesn't perform sinful activities to earn their money, right? But unfortunately, 90% of grihasthas who are working, they are working outside. Only few are fortunate to work in some Jew temple, some of them working in Gopinath temple, some of them are working some farmhouse. Some employment is available there. but large amount of employment is not available. So Bhaktivedanta Hospital was created also to employ devotees so that they can earn their livelihood with their capacity of skills and training that they have received, so that they can work in a Krishna conscious atmosphere. Do you know how important it is to work in Krishna conscious atmosphere? You may not be a sinful person, you may be very pure hearted, your lifestyle is very pure, but the company that you work in, that has lot of corruptions, lot of malpractices, and when you participate in such a business, you also share the karmas of the company. For example, suppose you are working in an abortion clinic. You are a clerk. You just enter names and sex and age and address and everything. You don't know anything else. Everything else is done by the others inside. But because you are a participant of a sinful activity institution, you draw your salary from that institution, which institution is earning their money by killing babies in the womb. Very sinful activity. And the money derived from that you earn, and you eat out of that money, your consciousness gets corrupted because you share with the karma that the institute is performing. Share with the sins that the institute is committing. If you are in a other company where a lot of cheating goes on, a lot of cheating statements are made to sell their products and everything, you may be a sincere employee, but because you participate into a bigger sinful activity and draw your food and money from that activity, you also share those sins, although you are chanting Hare Krishna and following four regular principles. Why I am telling you now? Because all of your students, and very soon you are going to get out and start earning money. And you have to understand that you cannot work in a sinful atmosphere. We have a pharmacy manager called Ramrajya Prabhu, a very senior, experienced engineer, research fellow from Nosil, Mafatlal's industry. At one point of time, Nosil stopped, so he had to work in a company where research medically is going on. And he saw that so many armadillos and so many rats and so many horses and cows and other animals were tested with medicines. And when the medicines are tested on them, many times the animals die. And then the medicine is approved by the FDA, and then medicine comes on market for human test, and then is in the market for human beings. So he saw that this company kills so many innocent animals for their business. So he left that job. Because he understood, if I have to work in this company, I have to participate and share the sins of killing innocent animals for thousands of numbers. There's one animal called armadillo, whose jaw, whose paw is used for all kinds of tests. If you read medical books, you'll say in the jaw, in the paw of armadillo, this was proved, and this was, too many references will come, armadillo. It's a Western animal. It's like a mouse, like a rabbit, you can say. Why I told all these things? Because when you pass out, you come to know that I have to choose a company which is not a liquor company, not a company which is exploiting other people's lives and make money, not a cheating company. So third purpose of opening Bhaktivedanta Hospital was to create jobs, skilled jobs in service to humanity, but in the environment of purity and sanctity. There are three main purposes for this hospital was built. And to execute and to achieve these three goals, we started Department of Spiritual Care. What Gurudev always says, and we also firmly believe, our hospital is not a very big and very famous in volume kind of hospital. There are many, many big, much bigger hospitals than Bhaktivedanta Hospital in Mumbai and in India, of course abroad. What are we different from? We are different because of existence of spiritual care. And our spiritual care in the hospital is not on demand only. That means outside what happens, there is a concept of spiritual care. I was just telling one lady just now, 2 minutes ago, that spiritual care exists in the world also. But all that what they think is spiritual care is only emotional care. Spiritual care means the spirit and the Supreme Lord has to be involved in that. But what they term as spiritual care is, for example, one patient is dying. The last wish of the patient is that I want to meet my mother who is in Bangalore. So there are some team of people in so-called spiritual care department. They work very hard and somehow make the patient meet his mother. Either mother comes or he goes to mother, whatever they arrange. And when the mother is meeting, the department feels we have done a spiritual care. But is that spiritual care? that is family care. At the most, you can say emotional care. Prabhuji, please close the door. Please. So, many of such things are there, which are emotional level, but they term it as spiritual care. And our spiritual care is fully based upon teachings of Prabhupada and his books. And we are, by the mercy of Prabhupada, we have lots of material, which is very bona fide and deep and vast. Second thing is, in the world, whatever they term spiritual care as, is only mostly done at end of life care. When somebody is dying, they think some care should be given. Something spiritual, something devotional should be performed. In our hospital, even if you get cold and cough, you receive spiritual care. It is by default you receive it. It is from agnostics, atheistic people to most spiritually advanced people. All categories of people are covered in spiritual care. That is the unique nature of spiritual care of Bhaktivedanta Hospital. How we give care to agnostic people? We don't preach them. We don't talk to them. They don't like God. How they are receiving spiritual care? Because whenever they come to the hospital, they receive prasadam, which they don't know it's prasadam. There's no onion, no garlic offered to Krishna. It doesn't come out of kitchen before it is prasadam. Right? So, without knowing, they get diet. There are 13 types of diets that are medically defined. All of them are cooked in the hospital kitchen, the patient's kitchen. And whatever soup is there, whatever liquid diet, no salt, no sugar, all kinds of diets are there. They are all offered to Jagannath Ji before it comes out of kitchen and then served to all patients as per their label. When they come inside, they see Prabhupada, they see Tulsi Devi. When they come inside, they hear the holy name. The doctor comes to visit them, or they see doctor in the clinic, doctor says Hare Krishna. And if you go to OPD, consultation, and when you come out, doctor gives you prasad, Hare Krishna. There is a moving temple called Jagannath Balaram Subhadra. Every day, the moving temple is standing next to Prabhupada all the time. From 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock in the evening, the moving temple of Jagannath goes to all the patients and all the floors in ICUs and NICUs and operation theatres and all intensive areas, admitting areas. Everywhere the temple goes, and at bedside, every patient meets the temple and they offer flowers to the temple. They offer prayers. Sometimes they cry. They receive prasadam. In the month of Kartik, when the chariot goes all over the hospital, lamps ready-made are given to the patient, and patient from sleeping on the bed offer lamp to Lord Jagannath. So, the Muslims may not offer, but they are hearing Hare Krishna Mahamantra sung by Prabhupada in the lift, in the corridors, in the ward, next to the ward, special room, double room, triple room, general ward, ladies ward, men ward, all kinds of situation. In operation theater, when the doctor is operating, you can hear live Radha Gopinath Bhagavatam class. Yeah, doctors, devotees are operating when they are hearing Bhagavatam class. For not devotees, they are hearing Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which is generally broadcasted everywhere. There are 200 plus speakers in the hospital. So by this general arrangement, everyone receives spiritual care, whether know or don't know. We have read the philosophy that if you eat prasad, your spiritual life begins. Is that true? There are 30% Muslim clientele who comes to our hospital. They like the hospital quality and service there. And 30% of beds are occupied by Muslims constantly. 30% of outpatients are Muslims. And they say Hare Krishna, they take prasad, they eat in the hospital, they are admitted to. Because when you are ill, you don't ask, are you Hindu or Christian? You cure me first. Best doctor is Muslim, still I will go there. Best doctor is Hindu, still I will go there. Best doctor is Christian, I will go there. Illness is something, we can't start debating about Hindu or Muslim there. So just this way, I want to substantiate my statement that how do we give spiritual care to all the agnostics and all the anti-God people? It's through love and care and compassion. Their hearts may change after your care, and or by the prasadam that they have eaten, after some time their hearts may change. And to those who are favorable, direct preaching is done. We give mala, we give books, we follow them up, we have many programs for them after discharge. The real preaching actually begins after discharge. While they are in the hospital, they are simply given care, attention, kindness, inquiries, counseling. When they are crying, attention is given to them, good medical care is given to them. At that time, they get sensitized. And we choose from those people who are favorables, make the list and invite them for a program called Premanjali. That is a once in a month program. And now it is divided into batch-wise, branch-wise. Matlab what? Surgical patients all together, baby patients all together, or gynecology patients all together, orthopedic patient of bones and joints all together, dentist patient all together. That means the doctors may not be able to preach when they are actually consulting with the OPDs. But they are given chance to talk to their patients because they are brought together after discharge once in a month. One medical lecture, one spiritual lecture. That goes on all throughout the year, every month. So today is pediatric program, this month, next month is surgical program. Third is then all patients who are treated by surgeon, next month. All patients treated by orthopedics, next month. All patients treated by gynecologists, next month. It's like the sequence is made. 12 branches are made and all the patients are collected batch-wise and the data is maintained very beautifully. And whenever their turn comes, doctor is called for giving lecture, one devotee is called to give spiritual lecture and 100-150 people are gathered and one program takes place. What if one lady from gynecology department attended the program now and the next month new gynecologist patients are getting inspired? Where do they go? They wait for one year till the their turn comes? No. There was a program called Parivartan in between. So all the people from all the branches were sensitized. Till their turn comes as Premanjali, they are all gathered and they are addressed in Parivartan program. Unconnected topics. They are just gathered and reached about Krishna consciousness. Then there is people who are more inspired than this through these programs. They are invited for Journey of Self-Discovery program. What is that? In other words, Bhagavad Gita course. It's called as Journey of Self-Discovery course. Atma Sakshatkar Ka Vigyan course. So we have to keep on finding out people who are coming in the hospital, who show more interest, ask questions, take books, start chanting. And we have a lot of staff there. Many ladies are divided, like all nurses divide all the beds in the hospital. Our staff devotees have divided all the beds among ourselves. So like you know which beds you will go to. And whoever comes on that bed is your patient and you keep taking care of the patient. Reach them, whatever favorable, unfavorable, whatever is there, you know these are my beds. And you go there like a nurse goes and you talk to them, take care of them, give them prasadam, counsel them when they are crying, like that. And from them you pick up who are favorable and make the list and there's a report which you make, A, B, C, D, gradation. And all the A's and A plus are invited for these programs. Very systematic strategy is there. Then those who are filtered and they attend the Journey of Self-Discovery course which happens once in 3 months. And not less than 150 people join that course. Okay? And after that, we have made a system called Mentor System. You are aware of Mentor System? Mentor System means those who are inducted through these programs and now they are chanting about 4 rounds. So they are now registered into a mentor system. And who are the mentors? All the doctors who treat them in the hospital who are devotees, they are the mentors only. Suppose you are a patient who have now inspired to become a devotee. By the way, maybe your doctor only can become your mentor by distribution, or may not be, another doctor will become your mentor. And there are mentors in the Mira Road, in congregation also, and the hospital doctors also. And they will undergo 64 lessons with the mentor system. And then they are brought up to 16 rounds. And then they become 16 rounders, they join counselor system. And those are the senior doctors who are already existing in the hospital here. They become proper counselees and 16-rounder members of the congregation of Radha Gopinath Bhakti Samaj. In between, Bhaktivedanta Hospital Department of Spiritual Care organizes spiritual retreat. What is it called in our language? Yatra. So we take people to Vrindavan, Mayapur, Jagannath Puri, Nasik, Udupi. Like this 25, 26, 27 of December. We are taking 100 people from hospital to Nasik. Who are the participants? Employees and their family members. Patients and their family members. Doctors and their family members. Because they are not all doctor devotees, right? Some are core people who are running the hospital's main business, but there are many outside doctors who are coming, who are now budding doctors, budding devotees, you can say. So they, their family members, the patients who have been preached, who are interested, their relative and family members, not one patient is there, but he will bring mother, father, husband, wife, whatever. They'll come together. And the people who are employees, not all employees are devotees, right? About 200 are devotees. Rest all are non-devotees. So they are also inspired and taken to the yatras. And then by the yatras, then they will take up chanting, 2 rounds, 4 rounds, 10 rounds, whatever. This one is in December. Then in every I camp, we take up many employees to Varsana to serve. So they get to stay in Dham, they get to serve in Dham, and after the service that they do, we take them on yatra free of charge for 2 days. And then 2 more days we do yatra, and then we call all the patients and other relatives from Bhaktivedanta. They will join only for the yatra in the end. So this year, this camp will be from 8th February to 20th February, and the yatra in the camp will be from 20, 21, 22, 23 of February. And registrations are on. Patients are joining, doctors are joining, many people are joining, and it goes to about 200 people in number. 100 are from the volunteer group who are already serving in the camp. They will be given by us yatra, and about 100 will join from outside from hospital, and total 200 will go together and have yatra. Next year end, we will be going to Jagannath Puri. But next year end, Jagannath Ji will be changing his body. Nava Kalevaram. It's a huge story, a long story. So we'll go in December to take darshan of the new body of Lord Jagannath. 25, 26, 27, 28 of next December. Next year we'll go to Udupi. Like that, life goes on. The thing is that very innovatively and creatively, through illness, people are introduced to Krishna consciousness. Now, how illness is favorable to Krishna consciousness, you tell me. Any idea? It reminds of God. Yes, I agree with you. What else? They become submissive. Very important. I want to meet a managing director of some big company, and I'm struggling to take appointment. Struggling. Appointment milta hi nahi hai. Aur milega to 3 minute ka milta hai. Time nahi. Very busy. Sorry, very busy. The same fellow, when he gets pain in the abdomen, he has to come in the hospital and get admitted. Then he has all time in the world. He's admitted, he cannot attend meetings at time. He's with you, doctor around, ho gaya, nurse ka service ho gaya, dawai deke ho gaya, abhi ho dekh raha hai, abhi discharge hoga. He's waiting in the hospital. And he has no hurry also, because the doctor has said, 3 minutes rehna padega. So he has time, and he is, as you said, most important. He has no pride when he comes to hospital. He's already sick. He's submissive. He's saying, doctor, jaldi theek karo, please. So submissiveness is a substrate or favorable situation to listen what is good thing in life. When you're busy in the hospital and proud, you cannot listen. You have no time. But this situation is favorable because of submissiveness and time availability. And when you are sick, most atheistic people become theistic for some time. वो कितना भी नास्तिक होगा ना, तो उस टाइम थोड़ा आस्तिक हो जाता है. उसका लाभ लेके उसको देना है कृष्ण भगवान की अटैचमेंट. दैट्स व्हाई हॉस्पिटल. अनदर थिंग आई विल टेल यू, यू टेल मी हु गोस टू टेंपल अकॉर्डिंग टू यू. हाँ, यस, वायस पीपल. व्हेन डू दे गो टू टेंपल? एक आदमी बोलो, एक आदमी. सबका सुनाने पड़ेगा. हाँ, वन पर्सन. यस, एग्जाम के टाइम पे. अरे राधा गोविंद मंदिर के अंदर एग्जाम के टाइम पे तो इतना चिल्ड्रन लोग आ जाते हैं. 7 बजे प्रार्थना कर रहे हैं ड्रेस पहन के. एग्जाम अप्रैल में मार्च में बहुत गर्दी रहता है. कॉलेज में भी ऐसा रहता है. एग्जाम आ गए तो बहुत स्टूडेंट लोग बुक लेके एक हाथ में, एक हाथ में भगवान के सामने. व्हेन एल्स दे कम? हाँ, व्हेन दे हैव डिजायर्स. पर प्रैक्टिकली व्हेन दे कम, व्हेन घर में कोई झगड़ा वगड़ा नहीं हुआ है, आज ठीक है सब, नींद पूरा हो गया है, खाना पीना खाके हो गया है, सब जो करना टाइम पास हो गया है, अभी क्या करना है, चल जाते हैं मंदिर जाके आते हैं. सो व्हाट इज द परसेंटेज ऑफ पीपल हु कम टू टेंपल? वेरी फ्यू. यू सी द हॉस्पिटल, यू आर फोर्स टू कम देयर इवन इफ यू डोंट वांट टू कम. मुझे जाना नहीं, आई हेट हॉस्पिटल्स. आई लाइक टू गो टू माई जीपी एंड टेक सम टैबलेट्स एंड प्रिस्क्रिप्शन एंड टेक ट्रीटमेंट एट होम ओनली. टेक लीव एंड स्लीप एट होम. हॉस्पिटल नहीं चाहिए. डॉक्टर सेज क्या, आपको भर्ती होना पड़ेगा, आपको ये टेस्ट करना है, दवा देना है, आईवी देना है. आई कांट ट्रीट यू हियर, यू हैव टू गेट एडमिटेड इन हॉस्पिटल. होता है ना. और हॉस्पिटल में जो आदमी मंदिर नहीं आता है वो भी आता है हॉस्पिटल. Christians, Muslims, all atheistic people, agnostics, everyone comes there. So number of people visiting Bhaktivedanta Hospital every day is 1,000. Every single day, 1,000 people are getting prasadam, hearing the holy name, taking darshan of Prabhupada. They may not hold their hands to him, but they will take darshan of Tulsi and Prabhupada. They will hear Hare Krishna Mahamantra and take prasadam. And many of them come to the hospital because the canteen has very nice South Indian dishes. So, वो बोलते हैं कि बीमार हो गया ना डॉक्टर को दिखाना है तो उधर का डोसा भी खा के आना है जाएगा ना कैंटीन जाएगा मेदू वड़ा खाएगा मटर वड़ा खाएगा सर डोसा खाएगा What is all that? It's all prasad. Without onion garlic offered to Lord Jagannath Baldev Subhadra from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. in the night. जो भी बनता है घंटी बजते रहती है उधर 6 बजे घंटी बजना आरंभ होता है 10 बजे तक बजती रहती है क्योंकि जो भी बन रहा है ना अभी पेशेंट का सूप बन गया पेशेंट का लो सॉल्ट डाइट बन गया पेशेंट का डायबिटीज डाइट बन गया इसका वड़ा बन गया उसका समोसा बन गया उसका नया ये बन गया इसका सब्जी बन गया चपाती बन गया वेन एवर दे आर मेड इज नो टाइम जब जब बनते जाता है तो ऐसा ऑफरिंग होते रहता है तुलसी का डब्बा भरा रहता है उधर से एक पॉट एक घंटी जगन्नाथ जी ऐसे मस्त दस्ट पुष्ट हो गया है फर्स्ट क्लास दिन भर खाते रहते हैं उधर आपने एंट्री किया इफ यू एंटर देयर वॉट एवर यू ईट देयर इज प्रसादम So you'll find many Muslims, many Christians, many people are sitting there eating masala dosa because it's very tasty and very beautiful. Many devotees, when they are bored cooking at home, they come to Bhaktivedanta Hospital to eat in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Because kya, safe hai na? Onion garlic nahi hai, fully offered, everything is so safe. You can eat whatever you want, fulfill all your desires. safe. If I go outside, I may be getting onion garlic or maybe sinful guys with drunkard, you know, full drunk, maybe making dosas, who knows? इधर एटलीस्ट अवर कुक्स मे नॉट बी प्योर डिवोटीज बट दे आर नॉन वेज खाते नहीं है वो दारू पीते नहीं बीड़ी नहीं पीते हैं दे आर ऑल सिंपल गाइज दे चैंट समटाइम्स ऑन टू राउंड आल्सो एंड दे कुक देयर एंड द होली नेम इज गोइंग ऑन देयर कॉन्स्टेंटली हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र इज गोइंग ऑन किचन ऑल्सो ना कॉन्स्टेंटली द स्पीकर्स आर रिजाउंडिंग हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र सो वी आर हैप्पी टू ईट फ्रॉम दैट प्लेस वेयर हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र इज बीइंग रिसाइटेड और चैंटेड और व्हाटएवर सो दैट इज हाउ द हॉस्पिटल इज अ वेरी पावरफुल टूल इन द मिशन ऑफ प्रभुपाद And it was not thought earlier. When we opened the hospital, we were criticized. The Prabhupada never wanted to build the hospital. He was against building hospital. He said, hospitals are built by those Mayavadis who merge in Brahma Jyoti. And in Brahma Jyoti, there is no activity. Only Sat potency of your personality, Sat Chidananda. The eternality is fulfilled. You become eternal. But there is no activity, there is no desire, there is no, nothing is there. So after some time, Srimad Bhagavatam explains that all those people who merge in Brahma Jyoti, they come down in the material world, accept bodies and do charity and philanthropy. And they open hospitals to serve people. And they term that activity as spiritual activity. Again, philanthropy, social service is not spirituality. It's only service to the body which is perishing. Our service is spiritual because we serve the body, mind and soul. What is the mission statement of Bhaktivedanta Hospital? Listen carefully. Huh? With love and devotion, we will offer everyone a modern, scientific and holistic healthcare service based on true awareness and understanding of the needs of the body, mind and soul. क्या क्या बताया पहला? With love and devotion. Second is scientific and holistic healthcare service. ऐसा नहीं कि कुछ भी कर रहे हैं चार डॉक्टर बैठ के कुछ क्वैकिज्म कर रहे हैं वेरी साइंटिफिक मॉडर्न ट्रीटमेंट एट अपडेट ट्रीटमेंट इज अवेलेबल देयर ऑल मॉडर्न इक्विपमेंट्स मोस्ट क्वालिफाइड डॉक्टर्स रजिस्टर्ड डॉक्टर्स आर अवेलेबल देयर एंड हाउ द मेडिकल केयर इज गिवन विद लव एंड डिवोशन बेस्ड ऑन वॉट बेस्ड ऑन ट्रू अवेयरनेस रियलाइजेशन एंड अंडरस्टैंडिंग दैट इज नॉलेज ऑफ द नीड्स ऑफ The body, the mind and soul. Not only body and mind. When the soul is covered. With full knowledge and understanding of the soul. Read from scriptures, read from books of Srila Prabhupada. That's our mission statement. And whatever we do, for example, Bhaktivedanta Hospital also goes for disaster activities. Last we went to Kashmir, Jammu, wherever that rains and floods took place. No? Last year it took place in the Badrinath area and Kedarnath area. This year it was in Kashmir. All that floods and destruction was there. So we went there. We went to bomb blast also we served people when there was bomb blast in 2006. When there was a tsunami in 2007 or something in Tamil Nadu, there also we went. When there were floods in Bombay in 2006, there also we went. So we have been going to all disasters. I have gone and stayed for 35 continuous days in 2001 in Bhuj earthquake, Gujarat earthquake. You were there? In the world, you must be there. That 2001, 26 January, there was a huge earthquake. So we managed the full operations for 35 days there. And I have continued services for one full year. So wherever we go, this disaster, what is our approach? We give medication, put up medical camp. We immediately put up a food for life counter. And we do Haridam and counseling. So it's not just medical care, social care, philosophical, philanthropic care. We arrange full meal prasadam for all the victims. We arrange free medical camps for all the victims. And the third degree is many people are frustrated, you know, they are distressed and they are depressed. They want to commit suicide, they are lonely now, people have died. Like in tsunami, many guys were like saying, my wife, my children, my mother, my old father, my old mother, my daughter-in-law, my sister-in-law, everybody died, I'm only living. I don't want to live, I want to die. Because everybody died in tsunami. Same way, earthquake. The building went underground. Actually, I've seen building underground. Four floors building. The top floor with the tanki, water tank, is just on the ground level. And one fellow had gone to Bombay for some work. Except him, everybody died underground. So when he comes back, he says, why I should leave? All my wealth, property, papers, all my bank papers, all my shareholding papers, everything is in that cupboard which is inside the ground, four levels underground. With all my family members who are dead, I don't want to live, I want to die. So, to give hope to him, to counsel him, to give the holy name to him, to perform Harinam Sankirtan, to distribute prasadam, to give medical care, bring them to Bombay for further advanced treatment, treat them free of charge, raise funds for them. This is what we do. So earlier we only chant and dance. People would criticize us. Aplo kya karte ho? Bhale Haridam karte ho, kuch karte nahi ho logon ke liye. Now we do holistic care, complete care. Whatever you need is already provided by us. Although we are not a food industry, but we mobilize free food distribution. Even in Kashmir when we went, there was a team of people who were cooking food and distributing to the victims. Medical doctors, specialized doctors, MD and MS went there to treat people. And there were devotees who were doing Haridam Sankirtan there. Three-pronged approach. It's not a sentimental approach. It's spiritual, body, mind and soul. All things are covered in that. And all that is organized through Bhaktivedanta Hospital, Department of Spiritual Care. And Department of Spiritual Care is doing so many activities I can't tell you in 1 hour. One of the activities called as Bhaktivedanta Hospital Youth Foundation. To attract youth of all religious backgrounds to serve all dying people who are under our care in hospital. We also have hospice in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Hospice, there is an institution in Vrindavan which is dedicated to only dying people. But there is a hospice in Bhaktivedanta Hospital also. It's not earmarked, this is the area. Wherever patients get admitted, final stage, that is hospice for them. So there are so many people in society whom we go home and give care to them. Called as home care in hospice. And all these old people require a lot of help, a lot of voluntary help. So we mobilize all youngsters in society. Gather them, train them, and make them trained volunteers. And they go home and take care of the old people. As simple as combing hair of a lady, buying some sabji, cleaning the table, putting a flower vase, you know, cleaning the kitchen, mopping the floor, bringing medicines from pharmacy to the home, calling the doctor to come home and visit, coordinating, all simple, simple things. Feeding the ready-made food to the patient, bringing medicines from pharmacy to the patient. All these activities are done by these volunteers. And these volunteers also are trained for disaster management. When disaster takes place, for example, there was bomb blast, these volunteers became security guards and completely cordoned the hospital and took care of all the 60 Muslim boys were there in the hospital for 72 hours in 3 shifts who were controlling the crowd in the hospital so that the critical care was given very nicely to the dying people. And the relatives were handled in one area. They manned the booths where inquiry was there. They were giving answers to people whose patients are there, which are dead, which are alive, which are in ICU, which are in wards. You know, there is so much chaos is there. At that time, 72 hours, 60 Muslim volunteers were there on board, and they were given food and shelter by us, and they took care of all the social aspects of manning the counter where people are inquiring, "Mara patient hai kya? Idhar mara patient hai kya?" So they will say either he is dead or he is alive and taking treatment, or he is discharged, or he is now in daycare, whatever, wherever he is, or he is not there, whatever. All those communications were done by those people. I give an example to you. But they were there in all disasters, whatever I named just now, they were all there in all disasters. Thus, these youngsters are also trained to go in colleges and conduct AIDS campaign, anti-AIDS campaign. So now we go to schools, 8th, 9th, 10th standard, 11th and 12th in junior college, and also full-fledged college. We go to all these people. Last year we covered 2,000 students in local college and schools. And these all volunteers come together. And we have their gathering, training programs, social programs. So it's not a religious platform. But they come together for a good cause. And in turn, many of them become devotees because they like the whole atmosphere, the philosophy, the approach, and the kindness, and the compassion. And those who don't become devotees who are Muslims, it's all right. They become favorable, they become friends, they understand ki, I'm not become Hare Krishna, but these are good people. They are doing such nice work. But they see so many cancer patients are being treated by them, sometimes free of charge, sometimes already minimum cost. And they take care of so many dying people, irrespective of caste, creed, and religion. So they get moved. They are not, you know, Hindu-Muslim fighter people. They are simple citizens. And they want to be peace at peace with society. But they see some good causes going, so they won't say, ki, "Are ye toh Hare Krishna walonga, I'm not going to go there." No, they will go. They'll join. And then I get chance to address them many times. And I teach them many technical subjects, how to take care of dying people, and how to psychologically counsel them. And also I tell them how to take end-of-life care, and what are we doing in end-of-life care. And I do get chance to preach them, and they also get motivated to that. And you will find through the picnics and gatherings of this program, these all students, Muslim, Christians, Hindus, all coming together and taking darshan of Radha Gopinath temple. Because in their whole day picnic, one item is to visit Radha Gopinath temple and take lunch there. So it is so nicely interwoven that they don't feel this like we are trying to convert them. We don't want to convert them because we have enough Hindu people to convert. Why should we convert Muslims and Christians? It's not our agenda. But in the process, what happens is, those who are anti-Hindus and inimical to Hindus, they can be turned into favorables and appreciating people. I'll give an example to you. In December marathon, all of you know, we did distribute Bhagavad Gita's and we put up stalls. So many devotees in the hospital, they also put up stalls in stations and here and there. So in 1 year, one stall was put up at Miraro station and manned by only devotee Matajis and Prabhujis. And lots of activities going on, Gita was being distributed. So one Gurkhadari lady was observing for a long time from distance. So many people noticed this lady standing and watching us for a long time. They were looking a little scared. Yeah, are they getting intimidated or are they getting sensitized or is some attack going to come? But they continued their work. After some time, that lady came to the stall and she said, "Are you guys from Bhaktivedanta Hospital?" They said, "Yes, we work in Bhaktivedanta Hospital." They said, "You guys are doing very good work. Please give me one Bhagavad Gita." So what has happened in the process? She will not become Hare Krishna. She will Bhagavad Gita, but she will not become Hare Krishna. She will become whatever she is, she will remain. But one enemy, you are turned into a friend. It's not important. Prabhupada also created many well-wishers who never became devotees. But they appreciated Prabhupada, they gave donated money, they became life members, and they brought friends, and they said, "Yahan par achha hota hai." Abhi, what is happening because Bhaktivedanta Hospital is treating people without discrimination. No differences are made. Everybody gets treatment equally. We don't treat a Muslim different or a Hindu different or whatever different. We don't only go on to give care to people who are favorable to Krishna consciousness. We go and care everybody. Every fair one is a Muslim, Christian, whatever he is, we give equal medical care. So they understand these people are selfless and they are not differentiating. So many people who could be your enemies are turned into friends. And they become your helpers and donors. So in our, there's a forum, beautiful forum we have generated. It's called as Bhaktivedanta Hospital Health Forum. And what is it consisting of? It consists of some important members of the hospital from management and some important members of society in Mira Road. So Federation in charge of their society, Federation in charge of this colony, big guys are also part of that. And what is the duty? They are also Muslims, they are also Christians in that group. And they bring patients to you and tell them he is a needy patient, he is dying, his husband has died, his wife is having cancer, his children are helpless now. they bring from society the people to the hospital. The hospital's department of community health center takes care of them free of charge, raises funds for them, and maintain their families after husband death and wife's death also. Right now there are 4 children whose parents died out of cancer in the hospital, receiving our care at our cost. And the father and mother, while dying, said, "Hamare bachcho ko aap hi dekho." And we took care of them. And there are 4 ladies. One girl is now in SSC, one girl is doing MBA, other girl is doing engineering. They are all orphans. And there is no distinction there ki wo Hindu ko kahi karna hai, help dena hai, Muslim ko dena hai, aisa kuch nahi. It's a selfless service. It's a genuine service. We really don't differentiate. So because of that, Bhaktivedanta Hospital also has socially a good name. It's creating an impression in society that these guys are not only into Hare Krishna and dancing and distributing books. They also are doing service. Whenever there's a disaster, they are there already. And hospice is one of the most exclusive, wonderful service that the hospital is doing, because many people in the hospital society are dying unattended. Because of lack of funds, or because of unwantedness, because of being burdened and loneliness, because of no funds being available, many people are suffering with incurable diseases with no attention to them. And these people who are from forum, Bhaktivedanta Health Forum, they pick up these people and they introduce them to us, and we register them and we give them full care. Because when doctors say ki abhi kuch nahi hoga, abhi ghar le jao, Bhagwan se prarthna karo, from that time when doctors say no till the death says yes, there is a big period in between, and people are suffering like anything, with pain, with disfigurement, with loss of finances, with unworthiness, with uselessness, and people neglecting them for being burdened to their families. All these people are picked up by us and we take care of them, and they are of all caste and creed and religion. There is no differentiation there. So we, whatever spiritual care we are offering, is a generic spiritual care. What does that mean? We don't offer Hare Krishna spiritual care. We don't offer Hindu spiritual care. We are offering generic spiritual care. Looking at the patient or a needy person as a part and parcel of God. We don't intimidate them by our philosophy. We don't try to convert them because of our service done to them. We don't want to capitalize or exploit them because of service done to them. We will encourage them to become better devotees in whatever they are doing. If they are Christians, we insist read Bible, do rosary. If they are Muslims, we insist bring Quran and read every day in the ward. Do tasbih every day, go to mosque every day. If they are Hindus, we give them Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So whatever is favorable to your understanding and your inspiration, we keep doing regularly. And we are, honestly I am telling you, we are not hidden converters and externally generic people. At the core of our philosophy, at the core of our plan, at the core of our agenda, we are generic in nature. Because we have enough uncountable, unlimited Hindu people to make them Hare Krishnas. We don't need to go and convert somebody who is unwilling to become Hare Krishna. Is that true or not? So, there is one thing is, our spiritual care is generic in nature. Second is, our spiritual care is free of charge. For spiritual care, there is no charges applied. When our spiritual care assistant goes and visits the patient on bed number 9 and 4th floor, there is no charge put up at the end of the paper. He visited, 100 rupees charges for consulting, for counseling. It's all free of charge. Okay? And third thing is, it is voluntary in nature. That means, suppose today I have a headache. I just admit it, I have high fever and severe body ache, and I am blasting headache, and I just want to be left to myself. So spiritual care, ladies or men will go to give them spiritual care. Patient can tell, abhi nahi, baad mein aana. Spiritual care is not forced. Ki nahi nahi, bhakti vidyad mein aaye na, to aapko sunna hi padega, main kya bol rahi. Aisa nahi. Whenever they are alright, whenever they are willing, whenever they are comfortable, that time we can talk, initiate the talk with them. And gradually lead them to discussion and, you know, bring out their heart and then give them philosophy and give them mala, whatever they want. It's depending on situations. So it's not forced. It's voluntary in nature. These three are the cardinal features of our spiritual care. And because of that generic nature, it is accepted by everybody. People, Muslims, if they come to OPD and suppose doctor forgets in busy situation to give prasad, he will say, "Sir, prasad nahi diya aaj." Like that. Children will ask, "Sir, doctor sahab, Hare Krishna, prasad nahi diya aaj." So that is what kind of impression is now being spread, that Hare Krishna are not fanatically Hindus or fanatically whatever they are. They are whatever they are, but their care is generic. You can go to them and take equal amount of good care as others will receive. That kind of situation is coming. And further than that, now Radhana Swami has launched a program called Prayag, in which Prayag means three rivers, Ganga, Jamuna, Saraswati. So he has defined Ganga means to improve the basic infrastructure of villages. Give water, give sanitation, give education, give other facilities in villages, dig wells, dig bore wells, and give them basic electrical supplies or basic amenities what we need to live in the village. Then the Saraswati wing will give medical services and normal education. Another issue is education. There is no education in the villages. There is no employment because of that. And when they fall sick, there is no treatment available. Village mein kaun jayega? Doctor available nahi. So to create medical facility of quality, to create good education facility in the village, and to create good infrastructural facility like water, electricity, roads, wells, all those things. When these things are done, then the Jamuna will flow. What is Jamuna? Direct Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna festivals, Hare Krishna kirtan, prasadam distribution, book distribution, programs, lectures, dramas, all actual Krishna consciousness will be accepted very favorably by people when their basic needs are fulfilled. When you are hungry, when you are dying, when you have no money, when there is no electricity, when there is no water to drink, you can't take up Krishna consciousness. Who has time to take up all this? When their belly is empty. So now Bhaktivedanta Hospital is spearheading the Saraswati wing of Prayag project. I mean, we are spearheading the medical services to all these villages now. So with this project, one hospital was built up in near Wada. Now one is coming up in Talasari. And many in Maharashtra villages are now already started. I don't have the link in the list of things now. Many doctors who became devotees from JJ, Nair, KM, who are now in their villages doing practices, they have opened hospitals and nursing homes. They are now taking up this project in a very systematic manner. Systematically go in the villages, apart from practice, they go to villages on weekends, do medical camps there, do programs there, and cultivate people in Krishna consciousness with genuine service to them, without distinction of caste and creed. We will go to only Hindu villages, we will not go to Muslim villages. Our camps which are happening now in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, we go to all kinds of places, pick up patients from all kinds of people. If there is Christmas time, then we will not go to Christian villages, because Christian people will not come at Christmas time for doing the cataract operations. They like to enjoy festival. At Diwali times, we will go to Christian villages, because Diwali time, Hindu people will not like to get the eyes operated. Who want to be in operation when Diwali is going on? So we plan like this, and we go to all the villages and all kinds of people of all religions, all walks, poor, rich, various people will be brought in. You'll be happy to know daily 45 to 70 people are brought every single day from villages to operate cataract free of charge. And very soon we are reaching target number of 100 per day. So 600 per week, 2400 per month is going to be our, and doctors are working tirelessly with no charge, free of charge. Patient is brought in free of charge, fed free of charge, operated free of charge, medicines free of charge, lenses, glasses, dark glasses, everything is offered free of charge. Plus preaching is done to give up vices like alcohol, cigarette, bidi, all nonsense activities are told to stop. They take vows and throw their bidis in dustbin, give vows to us and chant one round, and then they go. And our people go to the village where camp was held and we hold spiritual programs. Rupa Raghunath Prabhu is our village preaching in charge. And he is working very closely hand in hand with our hospital, because wherever we hold camps, there he goes and starts preaching program. And he has got large number of villages under him now, and he has created a base of about 400 to 500 young boys from all those villages where our medical care has been provided, and he has cultivated them. And you'll be surprised to know, these boys now are participating in our Pandharpur medical camp, because they get benefit like this, and they volunteer and they participate in Dindi, because we also service providing in Dindi also. We provide services. What is Dindi? It starts from a particular village and they walk for 19, 20, 35 kilometers all the way to Pandharpur, doing dancing and kirtan. And they fall sick on the way. So our vehicle is going along with that. A team is dedicated only for that. So in that team, which is working in the moving area, and then another team is working in Pandharpur itself, where they are holding a big building is rented by us, where wards are set up, where the clinics are set up, and the queues are there to the Pandharpur Darshan. There 5 clinics are set up, Prashadam distribution is set up, book distribution set up, the one spiritual care team will go every day to Haridham, whole Pandharpur. This goes on for 10 days. On the day of Ekadashi, 1 lakh people were given Ekadashi Prasadam. On the next day of Ekadashi, Dwadashi fast breaking, 1 lakh people were given Khichdi Prasadam to their satisfaction. And thousands of books were distributed, and 75,000 people are treated in every Pandharpur camp. Somebody said 30,000 people when it was introduction going on. In Pandharpur camp, 75,000 people are treated. There's a ward of 25 people who is continuously admitting patients and discharging them. You know, like they fall down unconscious, they are hungry, they have fracture, they have some wound. They come, get admitted 2-3 hours, and they go again. Next patient comes. And continuously for 10 days, this goes on. Barsana Eye Camp examines about 2,500 eye patients and operates people for cataract in number of 800 to 1,000 people are operated every year. It also has dental camp. And in dental camp, about 4,000 patients are treated with 4 things. Either the spoiled teeth are removed, the spoiled teeth are cleared by, it's called as filling. And there's something called as scaling, that means those who are tobacco stained and other stained teeth, they are scaled to normalcy. So, and new dentures are put for people. Those who are no teeth, remaining are removed and new dentures are made. So 4 services are provided. Very skillful and detailed services are provided. A lab is set up over there. And 4,000 people around are treated every year along with eye services in Barsana Eye Camp. So many dentists are becoming devotees because of that, because they are in Dham serving Vrijvasis. And you'll be happy to know when the Barsana Eye Camp is going on, the operations are going on. They begin at 6 o'clock in the morning and end at 10 p.m. in the night. How many hours? How many hours? 16 hours. From 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. in the night, there's a separate team of devotees only dedicated to do Haridham Sankirtan continuously. Because we believe that the success of the operations of Barsana Brijvasis is not through the skills and operating machineries, it's through the holy name and sincerity and devotion of the people. There's a deity worship set up there, we do yagya there, we do yatra over there, daily classes are there. So many people like you who come there as a budding people, they end up chanting 16 rounds by the end of the camp. So Barsana Eye Camp is not only a social service of, you know, operating people who are blind, making to them seeing people. Barsana Eye Camp is also a project where budding people come who are just introducing themselves in Krishna consciousness, but they get so much nourished over there. Because every day there is a class for 1 hour on the philosophy and Vrag Leela. And then by the end of the class, they accept Krishna consciousness full pleasure. 30 undergraduate nursing students and 20 graduate nursing students. That means 30 GNM students and 20 BSc students. Every year, new batches, 50 new people are in Barsana for about 10 days. In those 10 days, they visit the holy places, they hear Katha, they chant Hare Krishna, they serve the Brijvasis, they reside in the Dham. And every year, from the 30 people's batch and 20 people's batch, 5 to 7 people are becoming devotees. So from all sides, you know, we have educational wing, we have certificate courses, we have developed a beautiful curriculum, which is called as Spiritual Care in Nursing. For 3.5 years, over 50 hours a year, 150 hours into 3.5 years, we teach them a full curriculum of spirituality, how to give care, understanding the spirit. And then, those who don't join our school, because 30 and 20 students are only joining every year. What about all those nurses who join our hospital as trained nurses? They already passed out somewhere else. So for them, we have developed a certificate course in spiritual care in nursing. Those who join the hospital, they undergo this course. So this another angle of care, in spiritual care, is taught to people in the hospital in a very systematic and a professional manner. Last year, I went to London because they invited me to teach this course to devotees. So I trained 24 UK devotees into a certified situation of spiritual care in nursing. And now they are going to hospitals and going to devotees' houses and going to general people's houses to give them care. So this is now ongoing certificate bona fide course. Many other outside nurses of other hospitals and other colleges are coming and taking the courses in our hospital. And now we are also invited regularly to come to UK. The UK nursing chief, after I met him in UK, he sent one top nurse from UK government to Bhaktivedanta Hospital to learn about end-of-life care. And she said the kind of volunteer network we have generated, she's so impressed that she says, I will convince UK government, health department, to sponsor some of the volunteers to come to UK and teach us how to inspire youngsters into a voluntary group to give care to dying people. I'm very impressed with the network that we have created. So, this is a very professional and a systematic and a very thoughtful and an intelligent way of approaching society. And the same philosophy and same knowledge and same practice we are going to give them, but to give them in a very innovative and a professional way. The government of India and the nursing field of India will never come to your temple. For what they will come? But if you have some innovative programs like this, they have attrition rate, they have lazy nurses, they have absenteeism, and they have so many problems. Nurses don't work properly, they don't are sincere, they are only money-minded, they are only calculating leaves and everything. How to improve their service, how to inspire them? They have problems. When you say we have a program to inspire them, certificate also in spiritual care in nursing, then they will enroll immediately. Otherwise, they will not come to your temples. Like that, we held program for the municipality and government doctors also in the Bhaktivedanta Hospital. We have programs for newly joined medical students also. If they bring them into hospital program called Anubhuti, we bring them and introduce them to spiritual care and the concept of spiritual care in medical field. So, variety of activities. So many activities. Last week, on which day? On Friday, me and Rakesh were together in Nair Hospital. 200 medical students from Nair Hospital gathered in one hall. And they were given the understanding of what is ethics in medicine, what is character of a doctor, how to use your knowledge into service to people, how to be genuine, how to be humble, how to be not greedy, how to make our life composed as a doctors, and how to make our life successful by becoming ourselves a devotee. That 1 hour, 2 hour discussion took place there. And now they are, many of them are going to come to Barsana Eye Camp and join our yatras. So no one is teaching them how to become good doctors. Only medical education, competition and greed, everything is there. But there is nobody teaching them how to become good doctors, genuine doctors. People would consider them as God in the past days. But nowadays the image is very much spoiled, like anything. Similarly, all of you also, I'm a student age. Spiritual life is very important. To become a successful professional person outside in the world, to accept Krishna consciousness. And don't think the hospital is run by only doctors. Doctors only see their patients. Who will do the management? We have IIT people managing our hospital. We have many MBAs. We have many IT people. We have many engineers. We have many people who are support. There's something called as support services. Transport, ambulance, housekeeping, electrical department, plumbing department, construction, air conditioning, right? HR department. There are so many departments, about 45 departments are there. They are non-medical. Run them professionally. You have biomedical engineer to repair all the equipment that are crores of rupees worth in the hospital. So hospital also requires non-medical people who are trained into human relations, HR, maintenance, electricals, and so many things. You have drivers, you have housekeeping people. The hospital clean, to run the show, to organize. Now we are taking over new and new hospitals, right? Everywhere we require a good administrator to keep the things in control. Everywhere we require a financial man to keep the finances in control. No pilferage. Everywhere we require volunteers to go and out to medical camps, right? So all of you are required. Varnashram means it requires Brahmin, it requires administrator, it requires businessman, it requires a helper also. So hospital has all kinds of people. Spiritual care is like a Brahminical culture. We give knowledge about Krishna. Kshatriyas like administrators who manage the hospital from professional point of view. Doctors are kind of administrators also like Brahmins. They give medical care. In olden days, Brahmanas used to do Vaidyakiya Seva. And then the business people, the finance guys, accounts guys, they are looking at the Hisab Kitab, how to sustain it, make it sustainable. And the fourth class is they are cleaning the hospital, keeping the plumbing in place and electrical things in place and AC in place and things are in order. and they are cooking in the in the kitchen, serving the kitchen food, people in time as per the diet. So there is skill and there is service, there is, everything is there. So all kinds of people, men and women alike, are together serving in this beautiful project, and is expanding like anything day by day, day by day, day by day. And whatever principles we have at this main center here are also followed in all the peripheral centers. Whatever we are doing here is also followed in P.V. Doshi Hospital. Whatever we are doing here is also followed in the original clinic over there. Same thing in Barsana, same thing in Vrindavan Hospital, same thing in Mayapur Hospital, same thing in Wada Hospital, same thing in Shraddhananda Hospital. Everywhere, the core principle, the franchisee, has to be followed. Right? When you go to Domino, you get the same pizza in England, in Italy, in Bombay, in Nariman Point, in Gaon also. Domino's come there, you have a standardization. So similarly, when Bhaktivedanta Hospital opens a branch, there is a standardization of spiritual care, of good administration, and good medical care. Quality medical care in affordable rates, available to all classes of people, serving sadhus, giving medical spiritual knowledge to medical profession, and giving opportunity to people to work in a sanctified Krishna conscious atmosphere. This formula, franchisee, will be applied everywhere, wherever the hospital branch will come up, small or big. Hare Krishna. It's really late, I think 1:30 ho gaya. Am I over time? Anyway, spiritual care bhi अठारह साल में जो कुछ किया वो एक घंटे में कैसे बोलना है? बहुत डिफिकल्ट है. सो आई स्टिल ट्राई टू टेल यू द जिस्ट, द प्रिंसिपल, द फ्रेंचाइजी, द एसेंस एंड विथ विच वी आर गोइंग अहेड. सो वेन एवर यू विल फील इन फ्यूचर दैट यू वॉन्ट टू पार्टिसिपेट, यू कैन जॉइन द हॉस्पिटल और द ब्रांचेस ऑफ द हॉस्पिटल, वेर द हॉस्पिटल ब्रांचेस आर. यूज योर स्किल्स टू पार्टिसिपेट इन द मिशन ऑफ श्रील प्रभुपाद, सो यू कैन सर्व, मेंटेन योर फैमिलीज एंड बिकम मोर कृष्ण कॉन्शियस बाय वर्किंग इन कृष्ण कॉन्शियस एटमोस्फियर एंड कॉन्ट्रीब्यूट to the project of giving Krishna in their lives. Thank you very much.
Haribo. So, actually, what Bhaktivedanta Hospital is doing, it takes a lot to make a hospital happen. And it takes a lot to develop the spirit, even in the material terms, develop the genuine service attitude for the patients, as Prabhuji was describing. And on top of it, implementing the spiritual care, it takes a lot, because you know, you have to deal with the practical problems of the world also while doing all this. And you know, sometimes when people are having high devotion, then their competence in the professional field is, you know, dila, because they go become so-called transcendental. But
he's very much Kuma, by the way. Very much Kuma. So, devotees are emotional and not lazy. Some are very highly technically skillful and they are not emotional.
So, to blend character, competence, and devotion so beautifully and implement it in the practical world, this is embodied by this wonderful hospital. And we are very grateful that they are making this wonderful endeavor for the world and also giving a model for many aspiring grihasthas who may look forward to take this same Varnashrama system ahead to keep their families happy in devotion service and also contribute to the world and make more people into devotees.
I have one request. You must have come from various part of India. Like, okay, tell me which part of India you are from. So many engineering institutes you have come together, right? Yeah, I'm sure when you are, how many number, 110 now? If 110 are here, I'm sure there are more than 500 people who have not come here, who are there, who couldn't come, join you. That is what my understanding is always. So, I'm also open to the idea, as you have got them here and you're traveling many places to show, you can also join, or we can organize a special yatra for them. To Vrindavan, Barsana, Udupi, to Jagannath Puri, to Mayapur, whatever you're willing. I can come specifically to only give yatra to all of you. Not in my camp or my plan. You can join, of course, all of you are always welcome to join my routine plans. But if you feel exclusive yatra for these youngsters can be organized with me coming and and taking you to holy places.
Vivo. So whenever we go to Vrindavan, so we have different devotees who give us address at different places. So Vrindavan Dham, practically every nook and corner, Prabhuji will tell this leela here, that leela there, like that Prabhuji tells. So,
Prabhuji, I am very serious and sincerely telling you.
Prabhuji, I will take it.
That you note it down and I can accompany you officially. I guess very inspired when I see youngsters accepting Krishna consciousness, taking this lifestyle seriously, holding your lifestyle. It's such a wonderful thing because you can change the nation, as Prabhuji said. You can change the nation by your thought processes, by your influence, by your intelligence, by your creative methods. You can give people Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the only thing what is made, what makes human life. Rest everything is animalism. Krishna consciousness is the only thing which makes one person human and then takes us back to Godhead. So out of compassion, you all have to do that business of giving people Sri Krishna.
So let us express our gratitude to Prabhuji and to the hospital devotees, all the devotees, by three times loudly chanting.
Haribo!
Haribo! Haribo!
A pleasure and honor to be with you. And thank you very much for calling me.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So this wonderful holy place, beautiful place, a revolutionary place, about which you saw the video, about which you heard from Vishwaroop Prabhu, Dwarkadish Prabhu, we have the opportunity to visit that place. Haribo. So the visit will be taking place right now. It is a hospital, so therefore a lot of people are there. And they are also having a lot of ailments in the body. And therefore the sound levels which we keep is always a very low. So that it doesn't disturb anybody.